Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. Yes, I know it's been a while and I'm sorry, but you know, been blue and just so many things to cover as well as work. But anyway, I'm here today just to quickly talk about how to handle a school when an incident happens. I was at a parent coffee morning today, and we were just sharing, as you would in that space, different things. But one of the things that came up was a mother had a friend whose child was at secondary school, year seven. So she's just started. And what apparently seems to have happened is that a disagreement occurred between a group of girls and one child. And the group of girls have been on social media saying that this child has been calling them particular word or name, which the child has denied. It's not a word that she would use. It's not in her language to use it in that way. And the mother has kept the daughter off of school after the half term, because when the incident occurred, it wasn't dealt with, and so the kids went away for the weekend and have just and the holiday, and just riled themselves up around this incident led by one particular student. So it's bullying, really. And the mother, the school has kept emailing the mother and saying, you know, that her daughter needs to come into school. And the mother's like, well, we don't really feel that we should, because this situation hasn't been handled. And the school have said, you know, we can allow your daughter to come in later than the other students and then to leave earlier than the other students where this issue has arisen. And the mother still doesn't feel safe. Now, what I said to the mother who was telling us the story was that this mother has been getting email after email from the school. From the school's point of view, Ofsted, which is the people who regulate the school and come and judge the school as either outstanding, good, or requires improvement, or in special measures. And all the school's really looking at is the fact that the daughter's attendance at school is going to impact, well, I'm assuming is going to impact their overall record of how much percentage of an attendance as a school they should be reaching. Most schools, it's something like 93 to 96% attendance. But what the school's ignoring is the fact that this student feels unsafe and doesn't actually want to go back into the school. And until the situation has been dealt with, and dealt with effectively, then, you know, this mother is saying that, well, I'm not going to force my child to go to the school. Now, what we were saying in the group was that, of course, this is our worst nightmare for any parent, that their child is being picked on or bullied in the school. But it's really this opportunity for the school to respond swiftly. Now, some schools, what they would do is they would immediately call a meeting, a conflict resolution meeting between the students. They'd do their investigation and they'd call them together and try and resolve what the issue is by clarifying what occurred. And if apologies are needed or misunderstandings have happened, then it can be dealt with quite quickly. And then they can come out with, well, how do we want to move forward with this? As a group, and the school would facilitate that conversation. But what seems to be happening in this situation is the school is not tackling the issue head on, and therefore it's allowing it to get much bigger than it needs to. And now we have them trying to insist that the child comes back to school because they want them back in school and it's going to affect their attendance. And the mother is very much like, well, my child doesn't feel safe. And the longer this continues, the more difficult it will be for the situation to be resolved. The worst case scenario is that the mother feels that this school is not the right school and therefore withdraws her daughter from the school. But that trauma for that child is still there because it hasn't been handled well by the adults. And, you know, we've all got stories of where our children don't get on with somebody and, you know, name calling, and then you try and explain to them, oh, that's not very nice. And, you know, the school doesn't want parents to have issues with each other at the school gate. So you're almost frightened as a parent to approach the child who your daughter has informed you has is the problem, all right? And the reality is, until adults take some sort of responsibility of trying to solve this, this issue can become worse and worse. And allegedly, the ringleader that's stirring all this up is known to the school. So it is something that they are aware of and that they can tackle. But when I heard what was happening, you know, what occurred to me was that the school are using the email to build a case that they have been encouraging this child to come back to school and that they've been willing to put measures in place to support her, so that if we get down to a level of complaint, the school already has a record that they have attempted to deal with the solution, to deal with the problem with the solutions that they have offered. But what I said to the mother, who's now going to go and talk to the mother whose child is being the victim of what's happening, I said the mother needs to now write a very clear catalogued account of everything that's happened. They need to say what the issue was, who did what, when it happened, who was notified in the school, what action was taken from that notification, the consistent emails offering for your daughter to come in. However, the issue that is underlying all of this hasn't been dealt with, and therefore my child still feels unsafe. What I'm suggesting to the school is that they have a conflict resolution session with the girls, the ringleader, the daughter, so that they can work out what this problem is and be held accountable to how they're going to resolve it moving forward. And then who's responsible for monitoring it and being feeding back this information to the parents of all involved, okay? Now, the reason the mum needs to catalogue this is because I believe that the school at some point may decide that they want to use all of their emails as part of their evidence to show what they have done to try and resolve this issue. And that despite their efforts, this mother has still decided to keep her child from school for no valid reason. All right, I'm just putting it out there. It could be totally wrong, but my experience has shown me that I'm not. Even though I'm opinionated about it. But, you know, the reality is that the mother needs to put a pin in the issue. And this is the solution that I'm suggesting. And that hasn't happened. And if it has, you haven't reported that back to me for us to feel safe enough for my child to come back to the school. And once you catalogue who, what the incident was, what was said by who it was reported to, what was the outcome, then if it goes further into a complaint and the trustees or the governors of the school get involved, what they're only going to look at is was the process followed? Did the school follow the school's procedure with regards to dealing with the complaints? They're not going to hear them all over again. They're not going to do the resolution. They're just going to make a decision based upon whether the school followed its own policies and processes in order to solve the problem. So if the school eventually says, well, we don't feel that we can do anything with this child because the mother's not bringing her in, and therefore, you know, there's only an option to withdraw her from the school and the mother to look for somewhere else. Now, that is the worst case scenario that could happen. But You know, I think the mother having her own documented, concise evidence of what's happened presented to the school, and a solution, a suggestion of a solution, or for the school to offer what solutions they would come up with, and how will they monitor the situation? How can they keep her child safe? I mean, one of the things that I would have wanted was for my child to have, because she's the victim of what's happening, to have somebody like a mentor in the school that if situations become out of hand, that she has someone in the school safe to go and talk to and report to. And that person is feeding into the whole vision for the school so that the school is aware of any incidents that might occur if they have conducted a conflict resolution meeting, and then informed the parents and monitored the situation and updated the parents. Now, you might think this is long-winded, but this is part of the process. All too often, I'm emotional because I want to protect my child, and I will just go in there with an emotion, which is anger, and incredulous, or I will keep my child away because I'm trying to protect them. The reality is, how are we preparing our kids for the world in which they're going to live in? Many of us parents, we've been in disagreements with people that we work with. And, you know, if they're the same grade as us, there's a particular way of handling it. And if they're above us, then we end up, you know, either leaving that job because we're just like, I can't work with that person anymore. And then look for another job. But the reality is, how are we trying to prepare our children to deal with conflict? How are we trying to role model for our kids? And sometimes that's hard when we've been victims of things and we've attempted to do that. And now we've got to teach our kids how to be more empowered. The only advice, it's not even advice, the thing I did with my kids was the reality is they're teenagers. So this is the beginning of the teen years where their hormones are going to be kicking in, year seven to year, well, adult really. But, I'm just trying to think of, you know, times where my children have had that. And they've come home and they've spoken to me. I've immediately contacted the head of year of school to alert them to the fact that there is an issue that they may not be aware of. They've spoken to my child. She's told them who, what, where, and when. They've spoken to that other child. The other child's gone into one about, I never said nothing. I never done nothing. And I'm like, regardless, right, I need to know what the school's going to put in place to keep my child safe. We did get a mentor for a short time that she could report to in the school. So if anything happened immediately, rather than her calling me on the mobile phone while I was at work and me dashing from West London to try and get to South London to deal with anything that might have come up, you know, this person was in the school. And then my job was, when she came home, was to hear what happened that day. How did it get resolved? If it didn't get resolved, then I would role play some things with her of how she might be able to handle the situation. And because of the fact that I have worked with young people for a long time, although the young people nowadays, they're different to the ones that we knew, or when we were growing up, we kind of forget that we've met these people before in one shape or another. So we would do role play. And by role play, I would pretend to be the agitator. Like if my daughter would say, actually, you know, I don't like the way you're talking to me, then I would be like, and so what? What are you going to do about it? To aggravate my child, to see how she would respond. And then when she responded her normal way, I would then say to her, okay, so what do you think would be the consequence of you carrying on in that attitude or in that way? And why don't we try a different way? So I would suggest a way she could do it. We'd role play it again. I'd still be the, what's she going to do about it? And she would try the new method that we suggested until she felt comfortable. And then we had other scenarios, or like, well, if you don't feel comfortable, what could you do? Who could you talk to? Who's the person in the school that you feel that you could go and, you know, bring this to their attention? And yes, there's all this, we dealt with, oh, you're going to be a snitch. You're the person who tell tales, and all the rest of it. And we had to talk through all of that because, you know, as a victim, at the end of the day, why should your voice be silenced when everybody else is quite loud? And who's going to advocate and fight on your behalf if your parents aren't in the school? That's something that needs to be discussed. Then when she'd go to school, if anything happened, the next day when she came home, we would have that time where I would say, well, what happened? How did you respond? How did that feel for you? Do you feel that it had an impact? Why didn't it have an impact? What do you think we could try again? Until we just kept working it, until, you know, funny thing is, after a while, you know, the people who were trying to bully you, they will find somebody else who they consider to be a bit more of an easier target, not victim, I suppose, a target. And then that passes, it blows over. But the things that you've taught your children during that process by, you know, giving them some attention and trying to help them navigate their thinking and their feelings and allowing them to respond in the way that they thought they would respond and talking with them through what could be the consequences of that. Because look, I'm a mature mum, so I've been through it. It might be different now because we've got social media and everybody's quick to go and on whatever they call TikTok or, you know, Facebook is for old people now, but you know what I mean? All these new social media things that they have where they can just air out their feelings without having thought about what they're actually saying and the consequences of that. And once it goes on social media, you're never able to really take that back because as soon as you upload it, it's shared. And you, although you might get rid of the original file, what people have shared remains in that domain. So as a parent, my thing is that I want to work in partnership with the school. Now, you can try, and you know, a lot of parents, they go to schools where they've got fantastic Ofsted ratings, but they have crap ways of dealing with conflict when it happens in the school. They do not go that extra mile. They go by the book of their policies and procedures. And before you know it, you're given a label as an aggressive parent or a parent who's not engaging. And we go down a different path. So I just wanted to quickly bring that story and to you. And for us to really think about being more strategic when we're dealing with conflicts that happen in the school and how we can, you know, I've been accused by some people, oh, you know, you're too English in the way in which you respond. And that, you know, you just need to go down there and cuss them. Don't get me wrong. I have been down to school and I have been an angry mum. Yeah, I have been an angry mum, but I want a result. And the result is that I want that when I have issues that my child is going through, that you who have them from 8:55 in the morning till 6 o'clock to the evening before I pick them up from school, we need to figure out a way to work together because I can't be at work and every 2 seconds you're calling me and telling me I need to come down and get my child or it's not working and you know I need to take my child out of the school. Those are extremes. So before we get to this level of extreme, why don't we see how we can work together? So the school that might be the greatest in Ofsted might not be the greatest in being able to have a conversation with and to have a resolution around something that is a problem. Yeah. There are schools where their rating might not be that fantastic, but the children are happy, they're learning, they feel safe, and there's not them incidents which were around in social media last week. I mean, I couldn't talk, you know, I couldn't talk because I'd seen a young girl, a young black girl who was being beaten up by two other girls and their parents were egging it on. And you know, I'm fed up of seeing things like that. You know what I mean? I'm just like, not my child. And yes, I would be angry. And yes, the trauma that's happened to that child and to the girls who are being egged on by their parents to beat her up. You know, this is not the way to do it. You know what I mean? This is really not the way to do it. And I think that since we've come out of COVID, there's so many mental health issues, anxiety and stress that we're all facing that, you know, and we're being pulled from pillar to post with cost of living and having to make sacrifices in order to survive. And we're fearful about, some of us are fearful, not all of us, some of us are fearful about how we're going to manage and cope with the children, as well as feeding them, clothing them, getting them into school. You know what I mean? We got loads of things going on. And so unless we're going to start taking care and dealing with issues as soon as they arise so that they don't become the bigger issues that none of us want to touch. You know, getting angry, signing petitions, going on marches, you know, is counterproductive when we're not even relating to each other. So I'm hoping that this very quick podcast is a reminder that we're in a relationship with our children, with the schools, with each other. And if we nip things in the bud, we'll have much more better relations. And the reality is, right, even when you do all of those things, if you really feel that the school that your child, that you know, you've tried to get your child into is not working, there is another option. You can find another school. Yeah, it's a bit of a headache for you, but aren't our children worth it? You know, when my kids were, when I selected schools for my children, my first thing was I wasn't just going to send you both to the same school. I only got two kids, as you know, but I wasn't going to send you to the same school just because it was convenient for me. I needed to send you to the school that I felt was going to be right for you. And it takes longer, yes, but not everything in life is quick, yeah? So it takes a bit longer, yes. Eventually, both of them, you know, my youngest wanted to go to the same school as her sister, her sibling, and I asked her why. You know, because at the end of the day, sometimes siblings can live in the shadow of the other sibling, yeah? And sometimes you just want to be seen for who you are. You know, if the eldest child at the school caused an issue, right, the youngest or the next child going there has already got a legacy of some people's vision that they've got to try and change. How is that going to help, yeah? At the end of the day, you know, I did all the explorations with my youngest. We looked at different schools. We talked about why she liked those schools as opposed to other ones. And in the end, she came round to, I think I want to go to the school that my sister went to. We talked about, you know, her sister's got a reputation there. You know, you're not like her. You're different. Are you going to feel comfortable in trying to be who you are? And she was like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, make my own friends, make my own way. And I supported that. So when we used to go to the school and they'd say, oh, you know, this child is blah, blah, blah. And this one, I'd say they're both different. You do know that. Yeah, we've got the same mother and same father, but they're both different. Or they got the same mother. They're different kids. Treat them differently. This one will benefit and blossom in this way. And that one will benefit and blossom in another way. They got different interests. Please don't try and label them as exactly the same, because they're not. So anyway, the gems from this is, if the school's writing to you, you make sure you respond in writing and make it clear that you do want your child to be in the school if you want them to. I want my child to be here, but they're not feeling safe at the moment. So what can we do to make us feel safe? You know, you keep your records, you respond in email, you give them a solution, you give them the time to to deal with the situation, include for them to how they're going to feed back to you and how they're going to work with the children. And then you take it from there. There's a few other gems that I've spat out in this podcast. But as I say, I just wanted to come here briefly and talk about how do we handle a school if there's a situation that occurs. You know, it's good to talk to other parents of different aged children. We've all got different ways of dealing with it. But right now we've got the school system. You need to understand it so that you can navigate your way through it and work in partnership with the people who hold our children for most of the day. That's where I'm going to leave it. I wish you and your family a really fantastic weekend ahead. And I will be putting out some more podcasts. I'll spend my weekend recording them. There's a shout out if anybody wants to be a guest and to share their experiences with us. I do audio podcasts because I'm old, and because sometimes people want to tell their story, but they don't want everybody to know their identity. And I feel that it's more important that we learn from each other's experience rather than try and judge each other for the way we may look, the way we may speak. It's more important that we share our experiences so we leave a legacy of what we've learnt or learning for others. Anyway, you've been listening to Parent Talk #with Bev. Have a blessed week. Take care. And I am